This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
Stephen Langford, Tommy Call in with you, 95.7 The Game. Okay, I'm not really going to do that the entire show. They asked me to do that the entire show. I'm not going to do that the entire show. I can't do a John Gruden impression for a whole 3 hours. That would be terrible.
What the hell's going on, man?
If we put this on a poll, yes. Stephen Langford, go Gruden, entire show, guaranteed that would win. Yes.
I'd rather not put that on the poll then. If the poll's going to determine what we're going to do on this show, you can go to Twitter. Follow me at Nice Guy Steven. What's your Twitter handle? It's Tommy, what? Tommy the Third, isn't it?
Oh, man, the fact he
what am I supposed to know?
Guy, yeah, I feel like you should know. Come on, man.
What is it?
This is our month anniversary. These are the type of responsibilities you need to know.
At Tommy _ Woo! The Third with the Roman numeral threes. I didn't know that originally. I didn't remember it. Stephen Langford, Tommy Call in up until 8 o'clock. All right. So today, want to go over what happened during the week, because we do have matchups on Sunday, and that's kind of what's beautiful about having this really once a week show is we can go over what happened, kind of react a little bit. If you did listen to last Saturday's show and you heard the Super Bowl predictions,
they're looking good.
Yeah, they're looking pretty good. You had
as far as anybody knows, you're about perfect.
Who did you have? You had the Eagles and the Chiefs, correct?
Yes
and,
sir.
And me, I had the Panthers, the Patriots.
What's their record again?
Oh, they're 0-2 right now.
Yikes.
It's going to be the greatest comeback story in Super Bowl prediction history, as Joe put it in the back room. We got a couple of Joes, by the way. Joe Sherry producing the show. Joe Spadoni on the board. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. If you want to get in on the conversation, 888-957-9570. But the 49ers pulled off the win last week in Tampa Bay, and it was late. It was 4 o'clock over there. You didn't know what the weather was like. You got a gauge of it because Kyle Shanahan's hair for the first time was out of place, and that was my first indicator as to how hot it was and humid over there, because you never see a hair out of place on that man's head. But overall, they got the victory 31-17. And what'd you make of the victory, Tommy?
I was impressed. And that's going to sound silly, because a lot of people this week, and this is what's good about, we can react to the reaction, right, because of what everybody said. And there's a lot of people out there like, hey, they looked sloppy, right? I thought it was good that they win. You need to win sloppy. If you're a good team, or if you're a playoff team, you have to win a couple games like this. And what we've seen from Kyle Shanahan as a coach ever since he's landed in Santa Clara, it's almost the opposite of that. When things got a little murky, they folded.
Yeah.
In sloppy situations, they looked horrible. You got to grit out a few games like this if you're going to. And obviously, you know, if this is a theme going forward, that's a whole nother conversation. But for 1 week on the road, you have to be satisfied at least. Right?
See,
I mean,
right. And their problem, I'd say, under Kyle Shanahan for the entirety of it, is they've been able to stay in games throughout his tenure, it feels like.
Yeah.
But then when it comes to closing out games, they just could never get it done. Whether it was the one last year, the one that sticks out to me instantly is the one against the Giants. I remember I was watching that super close and thinking that the 49ers, They were running things in that game. They were letting the Giants know, like, yeah, we're not going to let you do anything. Then all of a sudden, in a two-minute drive toward the end of the game, Eli Manning was able to drive downfield, and they just couldn't close it out. There were it feels like there were so many wins like that. And you think about the one against the Rams. It was on, I believe it was Thursday Night Football, when Brian Hoyer was the starter, and they were keeping it close.
Color
it was
rush. A high Can't forget those.
It was a high-scoring affair, and they couldn't close it out. But in week one, when they come out 1-0, you're right, against the Buccaneers, you can say a win is a win, but there are some little things that we can nitpick.
And it's weird because what I don't understand, and this might be just because 49, like the expectations around Jimmy Garoppolo and Kyle Shanahan are put so high because of who they are maybe off the field or what we think they potentially could be, that this win, people are like, well, the Buccaneers are a really bad team. Or Jameis Winston is a terrible quarterback. So they were expected to win this game. Good teams are supposed to make bad teams look worse. Good defenses are supposed to make bad quarterbacks look worse. That's what the 49ers did on Sunday. And I predicted the Buccaneers to win that game.
Right.
I didn't think that the 49ers would be ready.
Yeah.
And I don't know to say they were ready. I'm not, like you said, there's some things we can pick at. But I mean, the thing that stood out to me is, I think it was the final offensive drive of the game, and I was thinking in my head, you know, can the 49ers kind of step on their throats? Can Jimmy Garoppolo kind of put the pedal down? Can
right.
Kyle Shanahan dial up some plays? And no, they put the ball back in the hands of their defense, right? The game. How nice is it for the 49ers for once to be able to rely on their defense? Because if this defense wasn't what it was and what they built over the offseason, I guarantee the Buccaneers would have made a comeback in that game. We've seen it time and time again, like you just talked about with Kyle Shanahan. Close games, not being able to close. Because their defense has been garbage. Because
right.
Robert Saleh hasn't had the right guys. And the defense was able to kind of put the pressure on, push down on the pedal, and really close out that game. Yeah, they got to Jameis Winston a ton. But even not even, you take away the interceptions, and it's just on that defense. That's all they needed.
Yeah.
And that was really nice to see. And I think it should allow Kyle Shanahan to get a little more creative on offense, knowing he has the defense that'll keep them in games, something he hasn't had as a head coach.
There is something to be said about Robert Saleh's defense, for sure. When Quan Alexander is going out after the first quarter of the game, still recorded three tackles, even though he was barely even in the game at all. But there is something to be said about his defense, because I think that there were some question marks surrounding their finalized rosters with the 53.
Yeah.
The fact that they were keeping three safeties in Jimmy Ward, Tarvarius Moore, and Jaquaski Tartt. We didn't know. Robert Saleh just said, we'll be able to work around that. We'll be able to scheme them different. Then he has Richard Sherman and Akello Witherspoon, as well as Nzacha, all getting picks, eclipsing their interception total from last season with getting three interceptions. So there's something to be said about what he's doing as far as the scheme. It's not even just the talent of the players. It's how he's handling the talent of those players and their defense. From what it seemed like in this first game, with what that defensive line brings, someone mentioned on the text line early in the week on the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795, said that sacks are overrated and hurries are where it's at. I don't necessarily think sacks are overrated, because less than 29% of drives that end in touchdowns, like, they actually have a sack involved. So really, if there's a sack, then there's not really much of a chance that they're going to score a touchdown. But you could say sacks are not overrated. Sacks are rated just fine, but hurries are the thing that are underrated, and that's what's going to really affect the opposing offenses with this defense this year. And you saw what it did to Jameis. It turned Jameis into Jameis.
Yeah. Well, I think what he may mean by that, or they might mean by that, and my kind of perspective on sacks is that as an individualized stat, I don't think it's that important. People get so hung up on having a guy that's going to get you 10 sacks a game or 10 sacks a year or something like that. If you get that 10 sack nice round number, means you're an elite player, which I don't necessarily think it means. But when it comes to drives and building a defense, it's incredibly important. Like you just talked about, it stalls drives. And it's just something that the 49ers haven't been able to have, it seems like, in a long, long time. So the fact that other offenses are preparing for pressure.
Yeah.
It's a different aspect that the 49ers haven't been able to have over these past couple years. And going on the road, Why has Kyle Shanahan been so bad on the road? Why have the 49ers been so bad on the road over these past couple of years? It's because their defense hasn't been able to hold up.
Right.
Well, now they can a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's a really, really positive sign for the future of the season. Because, yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo wasn't great. The offense has a big red question mark circled over heading into the game tomorrow. We need to see something from the offense tomorrow before they come back home. But just the fact that you have a defense and you can rely a little bit on them, you got to take a deep breath with that.
Right. And they were hoping to build around Solomon Thomas in the first place, as well as Eric Armstead. That's why they drafted defensive ends within the first round. And that is how you build a defense. It does start in the trenches. And they really weren't able to do that these past couple of seasons. And they put their foot down. They said, hey, we are going to trade for Frank. Or we're not going to, not Frank Clark, but we're going to trade for D Ford. We're going to trade that second round pick. That's fine. We are going to draft Nick Bosa high. We are going to take a chance on a guy that he might be injury prone. He was out within the third week of the college season and didn't even play for the rest of the year for Ohio State. But we're going to take that chance because we know how good he can be. And right now, when you're looking at the defensive line, they've spent quite a bit of capital on that, took some chances, and it seems that the chances right now are working out for the defensive line.
When Bosa was on the field, I thought he was the best player on the field. I'm talking offense, defense. Mike Evans was out there. Nick Bosa was incredible. Like, what he brings to the table has such a ripple effect for the entire defense because the guys playing next to him, specifically DeForest Buckner, is allowed to be such a better player because of what Bosa brings next to him or vice versa, I personally think. And I think that showed in training camp, too. This dude just looked like a different breed that hasn't been on the field in Santa Clara in a long time, really.
Right.
And, I mean, what he did out there was pretty darn impressive. And, yeah, that's why Richard Sherman was able to have a ball land right in his hands for place. You know, Akilah Witherspoon. There was pressure.
Right.
It made that secondary, which we had so many concerns about, look really good. I mean, two pick sixes in one game. I mean, I wrote about this. The fact that I'm even writing that down, saying that two pick sixes for the San Francisco 49ers defense in one game, sounds like I'm making something up.
They got the pressure in that final pick six, and then DeForest Buckner was the one who read the screen pass, and they just didn't know what to do. Jameis just threw it in the air and then hoped that a Tampa Bay Buccaneers player would go out and get it. But also, it's just they're building on these two guys, D Ford and Nick Bosa. Eric Armstead, he played more, just under 50% of the snaps for the defense in this game, or just over 50% rather. And now it seems like it's all coming together as of right now. They did play a Buccaneers offense, which is so-so, but they also got those weapons with Mike Evans as well as Chris Godwin. So if you didn't get pressure on Jameis, who knows what could have happened, because Jameis looked, he looked bad against the Panthers, let's be honest, but he didn't look terrible like he did against the 49ers. All right, we'll continue this conversation. Want to know your thoughts, Tommy, and the rest of you listening to the show. Chilton Auto Body text line 957-958-9570. There's a leash on Jimmy Garoppolo. I didn't expect there to be a leash, but there is one. What is that leash? We'll discuss all of that next. Stephen Langford in with you, as well as Tommy Call, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Stephen Langford, Tommy Call in with you today, leading up to 8 o'clock on a beautiful Saturday afternoon. Hopefully you're staying hydrated because it feels like it's still 100 degrees out here at 5:18 in the afternoon, even in San Francisco. But look, we are going to talk some football here because we got the 49ers against the Bengals. We got the Raiders against the Chiefs, and it's all actually happening on a Sunday afternoon. And with fantasy matchups, Tommy, real quick, I do want to get into Jimmy Garoppolo and how he was against the Buccaneers. But when you got fantasy players playing all in the afternoon and they're not even playing any of the night games, neither Sunday nor Monday night, does that make you nervous?
Yes.
Because I got that happening tomorrow.
You're all 10 a.m. slate tomorrow.
It's all 10 and 1 o'clock slates tomorrow. And then after that, it's just up to the night guys. And he's got a couple of players playing at night in prime time. And I hate watching guys I'm going against in prime time.
No, it's the worst. I love having at least one guy going Monday night. I have at times punted my kicker and added the kicker for Monday Night Football just to have a little something.
Punted your kicker?
Yeah, or dropped him. I'm addicted to saying punt on things now.
Yes.
That's a new development.
Really?
Yeah.
So what else have you said punt about?
Just about me not liking anything. Oh, I'm going to punt that.
Really?
Yeah.
So like
Joe's shirt today, I'm going to punt that from the...
What is Texas Longhorns?
No, Joe Spadoni.
Oh, Joe Spadoni? Yeah. Well, we got to be specific on the Joes back there. We got a couple of Joes.
I love the shirt, Joe. I'm jealous. That's why I'm saying that.
All right. So Jimmy Garoppolo in this last matchup, it wasn't perfect. He ended up going 18 completions on 27 attempts.
It was not perfect. That's
one touchdown, one interception. And the thing that stood out to me was just it was how much faith Kyle Shanahan didn't have in him to throw down the field.
Everyone's saying that. I feel like a lot of people are kind of saying Shanahan pulled back the keys a little bit to the offense and ran this more vanilla scheme in the second half. I don't know. I don't really know how much I buy that. They bounced back to me. They looked better. I don't know if the fact that they just looked smoother, people are saying they like limited the playbook or whatever. I don't know how much I buy into that. I just think Jimmy responded a little better in the second half and they started running the football and opening things up. And I think Tampa Bay looks tired too. And they kind of exposed that a bit.
Right. And you see the flags that were negating touchdowns.
Dude.
But the thing with that though, is if those players didn't commit those penalties, say Kyle Juszczyk didn't get called for that holding on George Kittle's touchdown in the end zone, would Kittle have been that wide open? Like you got to
true.
We think about these flags and we automatically say, oh, that would have been a touchdown if the flag wasn't there. But also we don't realize that, hey, if these players didn't commit that certain penalty they got a flag for, then the play might not have been the same.
I think the penalties is the biggest red mark in this game, more than how Jimmy Garoppolo looked to me personally, because it's got to stop.
11 for 87.
Yeah, we've seen this linger into the season. I mean, you're a Raider fan. You know how bad this has gotten, how bad things can go with penalties at times.
I do.
You know, and it was bad in the preseason too. And Kyle Shanahan doesn't have a sparkling record when it comes to his teams being disciplined. And so it's how undisciplined really is he, maybe as a coach, or is that locker room? Because we talked about what good teams do, and I was saying, you know, good teams make bad quarterbacks look bad and good teams win sloppy. Well, good teams don't have penalties like they've had, and that is something they have to cut out immediately. And I don't know how much you can focus on something like that when you're staying on the road. Like I don't know if this is going to stop tomorrow, and that's a big issue.
Right, and that's the one thing I kind of took away from it is, will it stop? Like, it's going to be a week-to-week league. We know that. But is he going to be that same quarterback as he was in the week one? Because when you're out there ranking dead last in the NFL among quarterbacks in the amount of air yards, I'm going with the next gen stats here. NGS with the next gen stats. I love them now. But he ranked dead last in air yards intended, which was 5. So basically he was averaging 5 yards a throw, or trying to average 5 yards a throw. And then the completed yards, he only completed 2.2 on average, 2.2 yards a throw. And then in yards to the sticks, meaning how many yards on average did he try and throw past the first down marker? He was at a -5.5. So really, it seems like he was throwing only 4 yards beyond the line of scrimmage and trying to make the wide receivers, and not even the wide receivers, the tight end, George Kittle, do all the work for him with the yak.
So translation, you want to see more deep passes.
Not even just more deep passes.
Just taking shots.
Just something like we saw with the Panthers versus the Bucks with Cam Newton.
Okay.
Just ones that could be 10 to 20 yards. Yeah. Not even deep, just something.
Down the field a bit.
Yeah, something beyond the 5-yard line.
You brought up George Kittle. And I think that Kyle Shanahan's game plan was to get the ball in the hands of George Kittle and Deebo Samuel. And you look at the rest of the guys on that offense, and even the running backs when Tevin Coleman was out there healthy, even Matt Breida, it's get the ball in those guys' hands, and they do their best work underneath.
Yeah.
That's why we saw Marquise Goodwin with one catch. Dante Pettis, who we're going to talk about in a little bit, 2 snaps. Those are your primary deep threat type of guys. Marquise Goodwin's a bona fide deep threat.
Right.
Dante Pettis can go get the ball down the field. But George Kittle's better working the linebackers, working inside. We've seen him catch some long balls, but you need to open that up a little bit.
And so I think early on, Shanahan was super focused in on getting George Kittle the football, kind of easy passes, easy targets. And so that's why you're going to see a lot of, you know, short passes and things like that. But yeah, I think to win in the NFL, you know, in 2019, you have to throw the football down. Look at the Patriots. You know, look what they did to the Steelers. Look at the Chiefs, obviously. There's an easy example. Even the Rams.
Yeah.
They all push the football down the field quickly.
Right.
And you're going to just need to see that. And I think that's a, you know, kind of a direct correlation with we need to see more out of Dante Pettis. We need to see more out of Marquise Goodwin. I don't think it's all on Jimmy Garoppolo or even Kyle Shanahan because those guys just were disappearing acts in this week one.
Not even the wide receivers. You could just put this on the running backs as well. I mean, when you look at Matt Breida and Raheem Mostert, what they did, Raheem Mostert had a couple of big plays, but Matt Breida, he didn't do much. He only attempted to run 14 times, got 14 carries, and only managed to get 37 yards out of it, I believe. So right now, when you're looking at the tight ends, you can make the Raider comparison. You look at what they did against the Broncos, it was nothing but short, easy passes to Darren Waller. But what else did they do? They ran the ball successfully with Josh Jacobs up down their throat. They also were able to throw some deep balls.
How fired up are you about Josh Jacobs?
I'm pretty fired up about Josh Jacobs. We'll get into that a little bit. But like they were also able to throw the ball deep to Tyrell Williams, too. And you just didn't see a product of that. And when you look at teams with number one tight ends, guys who are bona fide top four, top five.
Which George Kittle is one of those guys.
He is, and he's one of those. And you can give him the amount of targets that you gave him when they gave him 10 compared to the rest of the receivers as well as the running backs. I only gave 15 targets to anyone else besides George Kittle. You can do that, but also you got to have a run game to just at least get you some sort of yardage to help you go into those third and shorts that and the second and shorts and everything like that. And when you look at what the Chiefs do with Travis Kelce and what the Eagles do with Zach Ertz, they target those guys a majority of the time, but also they spread it out among their wide receivers, and they also get the running backs to actually run the football.
We talked about penalties, and I think that has something to do with what you're talking about, because one of my bigger notes from the game is how choppy that game was. There was no flow. Yeah. There was no rhythm. Jimmy Garoppolo was never in rhythm.
Right.
And that's such a big thing for quarterbacks, especially for a guy who we haven't seen in almost a year, who hasn't been on the football field for 50-plus plays. There needs to be a little rhythm. There needs to be some flow to the game to open up a deep pass. To where instead Kyle Shanahan just trying to dink and dime down the field, because anytime a big play happened, an explosive play, is that a next gen stat?
No.
Is that explosive plays?
They need to make it one.
I think explosive plays definitely is something to do with it.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm sure it's EXP
Joe,
plus
we need
percentage.
To hear about that. Yeah. Explosive plays. 49ers need some. We're explosive players. Explosive
right.
radio.
Explosive radio host?
Yeah, that's what we're doing right now.
Explosive. Yeah, that's what I'm going to put on my resume. I'm explosive radio host. That's
traits,
what I do.
I got to say, I'm just fired up to be here today.
Yeah, that's me every time we crack the mic, baby. Let's go.
But no, totally right. And in that first half, though, you didn't see any sort of rhythm, right?
Yeah,
see anything. And you're thinking, well, all right, what is Jimmy Garoppolo right now? Even after the first half, I was overreacting like crazy after that first half.
Nice.
I'm not going to lie. And then toward the beginning of that second half, when you saw that throw to Richie James and what they did, I'm thinking that 49er team, that's what I expect consistently, because Jimmy Garoppolo was in the shotgun and he looked right. Notice he didn't have any receivers open on his right, looked left, noticed Richie James right away and dropped a dime in there for the touchdown, which was a play that I feel like they could do consistently, and we didn't see it on Sunday. And that's the type of thing that gives me hope for week two. It's not like watching Winston.
You're going to need some big plays versus the Bengals. I mean, this is a team that we didn't think was anything. They lost in week one, but why that game was close, why they were in it with the Seahawks, is because they broke off some big time chunk # explosive plays out there. And so you're going to need to keep up with that. So you're going to, you know, and I just kind of want, I wonder what you think is how much do the receivers really have in play in this? Because in training camp, in the preseason, we heard Kyle Shanahan talk about it. He challenged guys like Dante Pettis, and he said time and time again, like, somebody in this receiving room has to step up. One of these guys has to step up. And week one, nobody did anything. Even Deebo Samuel, everybody wants to praise this guy. He looks great. He looks tough. He looks like a dude. But, I mean, really, he didn't show anything. And I just think one of these guys has to step up and break off a play, do something on their own, build some confidence within Jimmy Garoppolo. He needs some targets. He needs some weapons. And I don't think we'll ever be able to fairly evaluate Jimmy if none of these guys can step up a bit.
Yeah, and from the Chilton Auto Body text line at 95795, it builds on what you're talking about from the 707, from the 408, rather. I'm sorry. I know the 707 texts us a lot because, you know, you're the North Bay guy.
Ooh,
and
I am.
You got your hometown repping for you, but this is going to be my hometown, all right? The 408, the South Bay versus the North Bay. Fremont to Livermore.
I go
all over the Bay Area. Are you kidding me? From the 408 on the Chilton Auto Body text line. When you have one of the fastest human beings ever to walk the planet, there is zero justification for not going deep at least once.
Just
a
taking a shot.
Right.
Yeah. No, I think so. I think that's a little old way of football. I remember like watching games with my dad and thinking he would just say, "Oh, you got to throw it deep one time. You got to just take the top off." Where I think more now we look at the game, almost these guys, these coaches like Kyle Shanahan, 957.
Nice.
I think these guys might overthink things a bit and maybe think, oh, I don't want to just send a guy on a one route to the end zone and throw it up there and see what happens. I don't want to waste a play because every play is so tactical and overanalyzed. Do you think that's maybe clouding Shanahan's judgment a little bit? Instead of just sending a guy deep and launching one and try to open the defense up a little bit.
I understand like wasted plays are kind of a cardinal sin now within football, but really with the way that game was going on Sunday, that texter's right from the 408. They should have at least taken one ball deep, like at least just taken one shot. You can waste one down.
I mean, for how their offense looked, I don't think anything we can say out here would be like, yeah, they shouldn't have done that. Right. I agree with you. I agree with the texter. I just think that that's not maybe how Kyle Shanahan thinks. I think he wants to outsmart the defense on every play he runs. And that might be overthinking things a bit.
We're going to be seeing that both, I think, with Zach Taylor, too.
Coming from
the Sean McVay coaching tree.
Look at Zach Taylor. They're putting the ball deep a lot.
Yeah.
Andy Dalton, what, 400 yards passing? 419 yards passing?
Yes. And that should give 49er fans hope because now he's going to come in and throw for like 150 and throw
no touchdowns
with
four
picks.
Is there any more bigger letdown guy than Andy Dalton? I mean, Jay Cutler's in the conversation for that.
Well, yeah, Jay Cutler, of course, is in the conversation.
Miami Dolphin legend.
Andy Dalton's that dude that you're like, should I pick him up on the waiver wire in fantasy?
He had a good week.
Yeah. That's
heartbreaking the next.
Exactly. That's all he does. And I've got to read the 707 text because they're not happy that I just kind of passed them up. But I was very proud. And, it's hard to pay attention at the same time.
There's some homerism going on over there. You're the text reader of the group. I'm just going to send that to you.
From the 707, Richie James Jr. needs more time. He is a straight baller. I mean, you can give
him. He's so inconsistent.
Right.
He's so, like, that's the perfect Richie James. Like, are we going to see a drop pass next week, a muff punt, something like that? I mean, his inconsistency. I want to see five straight games before we put the label of certified baller on Richie James.
You need to, if you put the ball in his hands, it's just a question of can he handle
it. He was running
that
wide open, too. That was a great play call by Shanahan.
It was a great play call, but you also got to give credit to that throw, though, too.
Yeah, on the money. It was a dime.
It was a dime. Is that like a millennial term? It feels like dropping dimes is really popular now that like NFL is popular.
Well,
on Twitter.
I always think of Trent Dilfer, primetime dimes.
Oh.
Right, that's like a segment he used to do on Monday Night Football or whatever that was.
But after he said you can't lose games in the NFL and still win,
you cannot lose games in the NFL and still win.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone paid attention to Dilfer's dimes.
Hire him. I want that guy.
95.7 legend Matt in San Rafael. What's going on, Matt?
Is this Stephen Langford and Tommy Call?
It is.
I just want to get your guys' opinion on this. Why is the station promoting Lorenzo Neal to get in the Hall of Fame so badly? He's not a Hall of Famer. If you play with this guy in Madden, he averages like 2 yards a carry.
Thank you for the call, Matt and San Rafael. Well, that's completely off topic of what we're even talking about.
Man, that voice sounded really familiar, first and foremost. That voice sounded very familiar. We getting crank calls in here?
Oh, my goodness. Go and vote for Lorenzo Neal. Go to Pro Hall of Fame Football, HOF.com/fan vote. Vote for Lorenzo Neal.
That last caller brought up a really good point, though, because we really need to start taking in Madden skills into getting guys into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. If you can't use them in Madden and they don't tear it up, not a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. That's pretty much it, right? I use Randy Moss in Madden.
You need to put Lo Neal in as your running back, give him the ball, and if he doesn't take it to the house, no matter where you are on the field, not a Hall of Famer.
Whoa.
That's what I'm starting judging things on. Madden usage.
TJ Houshmandzadeh was on with the station earlier. He was on with the Damon Bruce Show with Ratto and Kolsky, and he talked about Dante Pettis, and I think this is a guy that we've all had a lot of question marks about.
You don't see somebody's mental capacity. You see a physical talent. Oh, man, that guy can run. Oh, he's quick. Oh, he does. But you don't see what he's able to handle mentally. The coaches do. That could be one thing. Or the second thing is they just don't trust him. Jimmy Garoppolo and him don't vibe. They don't click. They just haven't had enough snaps to get on the same page. Or Shanahan, they just don't trust him right now.
So he's given it one of two options. And he didn't say another one would be, he'll get back on track. He's just not clicking right now. It's either A, it's a mental thing with him, or B, him and Jimmy Garoppolo just aren't connecting. It's not saying I think he'll bounce back. He's just having a couple off weeks. He still needs to figure things out. It seems like it's pretty cut and dry right now with what's going on with this guy.
I don't think that it's. I kind of disagree with both of them a little bit here, just because Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't have a receiver on this roster that he's connecting with. What guy is it? Honestly, like, who's a guy that he's George Kittle, maybe? Because Jimmy Garoppolo's been hurt and been in and out of this, you know, as the starting quarterback because of his injuries, that his chemistry with all of these guys can't be amazing. Training camp, we saw him spreading it out. Training camp, we saw him throwing it to Dante Pettis a lot. That's why there was hype. We talked about it before the show and said, you know, I thought he was the number one wide receiver. You're like, well, you're not the only one. A lot of people thought he was the number one guy. There's a reason behind that. And I think that everybody wants to blame Pettis or question, you know, mental, all these different things, if he's getting the playbook down, all this stuff. But I think that as much as you put blame on Dante Pettis, you have to account some of that to Kyle Shanahan, because this is a guy you traded up to get, that Kyle Shanahan was supposedly banging the table for. He wanted Dante Pettis, his creativity, his versatility, his punt returning skills. We heard about all of those things and how this guy was tailor-made for Dante Pettis's offense. I mean, excuse me, Dante Pettis was tailor-made for Kyle Shanahan's offense. We haven't really seen any of it. I thought he looked great down the stretch when he was healthy last season, but why is there such an issue right now? It's really strange.
That was the question. You went to training camp. You went to every single practice at training camp. Was there any sort of thing like that going on with Dante Pettis?
I didn't think so. I really didn't. I thought, when the players line up for the individual drills, the starters always go first. The guys who are probably going to get cut go last. As simple as that. Dante Pettis and Marquise Goodwin were 1-2 and all of that. When the starters were lined up on the field, Dante Pettis was out there. Him and George Kittle, to me, looked like the featured guys. There were some errors from Dante Pettis. There were some drop passes. There were some wrong routes run. There was a lot of inconsistency with him. But he was still the guy, in my opinion. Deebo Samuel, I talked to some other reporters out there. I was like, man, we haven't seen a lot of Deebo. We haven't seen a lot of Jalen Hurd until the preseason games started. But still in practice, you didn't see a ton of those guys. It was a lot of Dante Pettis. So, I mean, it's a big surprise, and I think it's 50-50 on Kyle Shanahan and on Dante Pettis specifically to kind of step up. If you can't draw this guy open, this guy that you wanted on this roster enough to trade up to get, there's a little bit on you there, Kyle Shanahan.
There's got to be – something's got to give here with the wide receiver core, though. No, there doesn't have to be the number one guy. Dante Pettis even said during the preseason when he was asked about the scrutiny that was put on the wide receivers saying they don't have their number one dude, Dante Pettis said, look, that's fine. We don't want to put labels on it. We're just going to go out there and work. Well, look, if you don't have a number one wide receiver out there, then you all got to find a way to work together and spread the ball around so that you could play to every one of their strengths. And Kyle Shanahan said that he put the ball in Deebo Samuel's hands too much in this last game in week one. It's like, what are they going to do right now with the wide receivers?
I think what we've heard from Kyle in the media and what we've seen from the 49ers receiving core on the field in the there's a lot of, I think, kind of disconnect there because something's going on where I don't think Kyle and Jimmy might be on the same page as these receivers. I think Kyle's looking at these guys like, one of you guys has to step up. George Kittle can't do this all. And it just hasn't happened. It just really hasn't. And then you look at the defensive backs for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're not great, but they're not bad. What is it? It's not William Jackson, the corner in Cincinnati, one of the more underrated corners in the NFL. This guy's a stud out there, and he's going to be locking up with one of these guys.
Well, with that Cincinnati defense, the one thing that's kind of underrated, they don't have star guys right now as far as just names, big names that you might know. But with their defense, they got to the quarterback to Russell Wilson 50% of the time, which led the league in this last week. So with the cornerbacks, it seems like their front seven is pretty strong right now with how their new defensive coordinator, Lou Anaroma, I believe is his name. He's got that scheme working for them where he took them out of a 4-3 and put them into a 3-4. And it seems that they are working together on that and working with chemistry. And right now, it looks like not even the cornerbacks aren't even their strength of that defense. Even though they might have some good players, it looks like the pass rush is what's going to be the strength of that defense going into this game in week two. So this game is just as big for the wide receivers as it is for really anyone on the team, besides obviously the quarterback.
So I pulled it up. It is William Jackson the third. He was a first-round pick. And then you look at the rest of that defensive backfield for the Bengals. You have another first-round pick in Drake Kirkpatrick and the second-round pick from last season in Jesse Bates. All guys who are, I think you can almost compare that group, weirdly enough, to the 49ers receiving core because it's a lot of young guys. And it's like, who wants it more between this group? Because that's going to be a big deciding factor, I think, in this game. You just need one of those receivers to step up because you know the Bengals are going to at least try to crack off a few big plays with Tyler Boyd, with John Ross III. So the 49ers have to strike back. You're not going to be able to hand Matt Breida the football and Raheem Mostert the football 25 times. You're going to have to take the top off, like the texter said, like you've been saying all show. And I don't know who's going to do it, though, because I don't have much faith in Marquise Goodwin. What has he really shown in the last 2 years of football?
Drake Kirkpatrick. That's one name where you're thinking if he gets into a wide receiver's head, he's going to be talking all game. So that's going to be, if we're going to go into the keys right now, which we're not going to, but that's going to come up a little later
on.
We
have some keys later.
One of them, though, is going to be, and I didn't even think about this one, is just having to silence Kirkpatrick because he's one of those cornerbacks that will get into your face if he feels like he's in your head. All right, we'll continue to discuss this on the other side. Want to get into Nick Bosa, though. We got some sound from John Lynch as well as Adam Kaplan, and they had some interesting thoughts on how they might deploy Nick Bosa. Chilton Autobody text line 957-95-888-957-9570. You saw Nick Bosa played just about 39 snaps in this last game out of the 70. Do you want him playing more or less than that going into this game in week two? Because he did not practice up until yesterday. What is your leash and how long do you want him to stay in the game for? Stephen Langford, Tommy Call in with you. 95.7 again.
Now back to 95.7, the game.
Stephen Langford, Tommy Call in with you up until 8 o'clock tonight. And Tommy, you know where you should go for the Raider game tomorrow if you're going to go?
Where?
Join the Black Hole in 95.7, the game this Sunday at Everett and Jones Barbecue and Sports Lounge in Jack London Square for our pre- and post-game live broadcast. We'll kick the day off at 11:30. With Raiders opening drive and get you ready to see Oakland take on Kansas City at 1:05. Then stick around for the post-game wrap-up. For more info, visit the events page at 957thegame.com and visit theblackhole.com today to learn about memberships.
You're such a professional.
Am I? Stumbled through
You're
that a
such a
bit.
Professional. Wow.
Stumbled
I'm so
through
proud
that.
Of you.
Stumbled through it. But go ahead. Go see Rick Tittle over there. He'll be at Everett and Jones tomorrow. That'll be a good time leading up to the Raiders versus the Chiefs. I mean, that spread at, what, -7 is how much the Chiefs are favored at? Yeah. Is that a little too much by a whole touchdown, or is that just about right going into the Raiders and Chiefs? After seeing how the Raiders performed against the Broncos, probably would have been a little more if the Raiders had a bad game.
I think that's more of like the guys who decide the spreads just think that the Broncos are terrible, and the Raiders kind of did what they were supposed to do.
Yeah. I do not know why our guy Joe Flacco, who really—
Our guy.
Oh, you know, I mean, I know, why am I calling him our guy? Stop but Joe it. Flacco, though, we expected him to go in there and be like, oh, he's with a new-look offense. He's with a new team. He's getting a fresh start. No, we forgot that he was sat for 2018 Lamar Jackson in the middle of November. Not 2019 Lamar Jackson, though.
Lamar Jackson's just okay anyways.
Man, he looked good.
I'm sorry. You had a victory lap.
You were on him, and you've been on him since the start. He looked good. It may have been against the Dolphins, but I'm telling you that 2018 Lamar Jackson ain't completed any of those wide open passes to Hollywood Brown.
The way he just flicked his wrist and that ball went 60 yards on that touchdown to Hollywood Brown. I mean, he barely stepped into the thing and the ball just launched. The Ravens are going to be exciting, man. Yeah. I'm telling you, everybody's sleeping on the Ravens. They're going to be good.
I'm still sleeping on him. It's still week one. That's what I'm going to go with. All right. John Lynch spoke to the media, and he had this to say about Nick Bosa, defensive end for the 49ers, who hadn't practiced all week, ended up practicing yesterday, but he had this to say about his playing time come Sunday.
He was sore coming out, somewhat to be expected. Traveling and all that kind of amplified that a little bit. But he'll work kind of limited throughout the week, but he's fully intended on playing. And as for the snaps, we'll kind of see how that goes.
Chilton Autobody text line 957-95-888-957-9570. How many snaps do you want to see Nick Bosa play? Do you want him to play just under 50% of the snaps, which is what he played in the last game? He played 39 out of the 70. Or do you want to see them take it easy? Because, Tommy, where I'm at with this, I think with the Bengals offensive line and with the quarterbacks that you have to face going forward in the season and the strength of schedule as far as quarterbacks go, you're going to need Nick Bosa from week 8 on to the end of the season. I'm thinking if there's ever going to be a time to limit his amount of snaps, I'm not saying take him out of the game.
For sure.
But if there's ever a time to limit his amount of snaps, it might be this matchup come week 2.
Yeah, no, I'm on the same page with you a little bit there. It's obviously going to come down to this game if John Ross and Tyler Boyd are running way down the field, completing big chunk plays like the thing, you know, a tease to our keys to the game. That's going to be one of the things limiting those. And Nick Bosa can help you do that. So we're going to have to see, you know, if the 49ers come out and they pounce on these guys and they take a 14-point lead or a 10-point lead or something like that, then yeah, you can ease Bosa back, limit him a bit. But yeah, it's easy to look at the schedule and kind of play this schedule game and see that, you know, if he plays limited this week, you can kind of fade him the rest of the way into that bye. There's a long break before the Monday night game.
Yes.
Then hopefully he's super healthy or fully recovered by the time that game has, and you have him for the 100% for the rest of the season. If you're kind of going to play, you know, put on your general manager hat, I don't see why that would be a problem either. But if the Bengals come out and start lighting it up, you got to have him out there.
The football guys around the show, speaking of Lo Neal, as well as Justin Smith, he joined Joe Lo and Dibs on Friday, and they're both of the mindset that you need to put Nick Bosa in as much as you feel like you can, that you don't have to put him in for every single snap. You don't have to put him in for 100% of the time, but you got to get Nick Bosa in there because he's a boy dog out there.
I mean, I'm almost willing to label him like a game changer. I mean, when he was on the field versus Jameis Winston, looked incredible. And then, you know, Cordy Glenn, the best offensive lineman on the Bengals roster, their first round pick from last year, Jonah Williams, from this previous draft, they're not going to be out there.
Right.
Their two best offensive linemen, they're not going to see the field. So it should be dog eat dog out there. It should be easy money for this defensive line that the 49ers have paid so much, and we've talked about so much about how good this offensive line is. I mean, excuse me, defensive line. If they're that good, then they should wreck this game. Steven, we talked last week, we did our position breakdowns, and we talked about, the 49ers defensive line, they're the best position group in this game. That's the biggest tilt. we'd bet on the 49ers defensive line versus any other position group. Well, that times 10 this week in Cincinnati.
Really? Times 10?
Yeah.
Man.
Dude, that offensive line's one of the worst in the league on paper. Granted, we've only seen, you know, the Seattle defensive line didn't necessarily dominate. Jadeveon Clowney didn't dominate them. But, you know, if this defensive line is as advertised, we've talked about them the whole first show. We talked about them every show we've done together. So this is where you count on them. This is where you need them. Dominate.
It's not even just Nick Bosa either. It's the entire line right now.
Yeah, so Solomon Thomas.
Step up. Do you think that they – I mean, he only played 12 snaps, which is the least amount of snaps that he's ever played in a 49er uniform.
Breather snaps.
Even when he has a new defensive line coach, nothing changed. And so do you think, though, that they need to – just maybe make the switch and just move him to D-tackle and see how he can do there? Because defensive end does not seem to be working out for him.
He just
right
needs
now.
To be playing heads up. He needs to play inside at the limited. He's not a wide nine edge rusher. And also, you're going to need to see some opportunities. You're going to need to see reps. He's not going to blow up 12 plays and play 20 snaps the next outing. But he's not going to get that. Because Bosa is flat out better. D Ford's flat out better. You're not going to put him in over DeForest Buckner. You're not. So I don't know where this guy's going to find his playing time. I mean, I think you probably should have traded him over the offseason because each game, his value goes down.
Right. You're not going to do that for Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Stop it.
You're not going to do that for Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Stop it.
But look, also, you're not even just thinking of the starting linemen that are out there. Eric Armstead's outplaying him, too, from the defensive end standpoint.
Eric Armstead, I forgot about him. He was probably the second-best defensive lineman in that game behind Bosa. I mean, this guy's taking strides this offseason. He's trying to get that money.
You want more next-gen stats?
I love it.
I got some next-gen stats for you. So,
can we get a sounder for some next-gen stats from Steven?
I don't even know what kind of sounder. I think one sounder that you can use. Honestly, I was just expecting that sounder to be either nerd alert or loser. But no, going forward, though.
No, we're a pro next-gen stats show.
I'm all about these, dude. Like, I love me some next-gen. I just stare at that screen for an hour and just
Before the show, Steven was showing Joe and I just how the next-gen stats website looks.
It's amazing.
He was like, oh, dude, the layout's incredible. I love the colors. All this stuff, I'm just like, yeah, dude, looks awesome.
Red, shades of red, dark red for when
they're
doing well.
You can see where Jimmy Garoppolo threw the ball.
I'm all about them. I'm all about these, all
right?
Nerd! But look, Nick Bosa, he led the defensive lineman in average amount of separation he got from the quarterback when he would rush the passer. So when he would rush the passer, he would get within 3.39 yards of him, which led the team by far. But in second was Eric Armstead. When he would rush the passer, he would get within 4.4 yards, which was second best on the team. So when you're talking about Eric
Solomon
Armstead
Thomas
looked like the best.
Solomon Thomas needs to take notes.
I mean, when you say that Eric Armstead looked the second best on the team, the next gen stats, they back it up.
Ooh.
I'm telling you, man, that like there's something there with them. And I think with Solomon Thomas, you might as well just take a shot with him at defensive tackle because it just doesn't seem like defensive end's the thing.
I mean, he's at that point already through week one of this season where it was kind of a make-or-break season for Solomon Thomas. I mean, I don't know what you're going to need to see. Anything's possible. Even if it's a, you know, play defensive tackle, do whatever, play nose tackle, play tight end, something from Solomon Thomas is anything for him at this point because, I mean, his patience is running thin. You saw 12 snaps in week one, and we were calling him before the show breather snaps. When the other guys were tired, all right, Solomon, go give us one.
Yeah, I mean that's it. Just so you can give this guy a break. And really, when you
look
at
the third overall pick in the NFL draft,
when you look at you know Sheldon Day, Ronald Blair, those guys they're out there working. Like
DJ Jones, who looked really good, I thought.
So I think if you can maybe try and get another guy. Like, they need to solidify that one guy to go alongside DeForest Buckner, though. They have DeForest Buckner. They have three of their four linemen sorted out. They don't have necessarily that fourth lineman who's going to help wreck the game. And I think that putting Solomon Thomas there, trying him out at defensive tackle alongside DeForest Buckner. I think it's worth a shot. I think it's a low risk, high reward move as we go with.
So
the
you
want to
see more? You want to see more of Solomon Thomas?
I do.
Even if that's forcing playing time.
I do.
Okay.
I do. I think like forcing play time upon him against this Bengals offensive line, which you just said is one of the worst in the NFL. I think right now taking a chance here in week two and limiting Bosa's snaps, I'd be fine with that. But I mean, if you're not getting anything from the third overall pick, and you're also talking about with Jimmy Garoppolo saying that you might bench him in the middle of the season, or at least there are analysts out there and insiders who think that that's actually a possibility. By the way, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM, and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
Such a pro.
But when you got that with the third overall pick and your highest paid player in Jimmy Garoppolo, and I want to play the sound from Adam Kaplan here coming up in a second because this I kind of found surprising, but I think that you need to find something for this guy. Defensive end ain't it. And that's just really where I'm at with that.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.